Afternoon Session with Jonathan, Eric, Amara, Bruce, Sarah, Ivan, and others.
Just to follow up on the discussion before lunch a little bit, and the idea of the nimitta that we were talking about, and question that arose recently in discussion was, because the object of citta has actually fallen away the moment before, I think you used the word shadow, that is experienced, but is not concept.
It is.
It is concept.
Whenever citta does not experience paramattha dhamma, it experiences concept.
But when it experiences paramattha dhamma, the paramattha dhamma that is experienced actually is from the previous moment.
We don't have to say whether it's previous or future, but now it appears.
Right.
Jonathan, I'm glad you asked that question, because I was going to move on to the panyati question, which was something I was quite unclear on. In terms of the six types of panyati, you have the panyati that cognizes directly, right, of real, which would be presumably paramattha dhamma, yeah, the first type. And then you have a panyati of the unreal. And then you have a panyati that cognizes the real by way of the unreal by way of the real by way of the real, and the unreal by way of the unreal. And the examples that were given in your paper on panyati gave the example of saying that the abhinyas of an arahat, for example, the abhinyas are real, but the arahat is not real, as an example of panyati cognizing the real by way of the unreal. And I was just curious how you meant abhinya as being real in that context. Whereas, like, arahat, obviously arahat or some other sentient being is a composed entity and stuff, but why would abhinyas in this case be real? I was very unclear on how the panyati are broken out in that way.
I think that we should have the stable understanding about realities. For example, the citta is the experiencing reality.
Right.
And anything which is not paramattha dhamma at the moment when citta experiences must be panyati, no matter how many are there. So we will have no doubt about panyati, anything which is not paramattha dhamma.
Right.
When it's object, it is panyati.
Right, 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 right. But I guess I'm just not clear on the distinction of, at least the description that I read of cognizing the real by way of the unreal, for example. Can you explain how that...
For example, the king, is a king real?
Not by way of his own entityness, no.
So it's the panyati of the real or unreal.
Panyati would be of the unreal.
But when we use the word sound, it represents a reality.
Okay.
So it's the panyati of the one which is real.
Okay, I'm still very unclear on that.
But sound is real. King is not real. So when we talk about sound, it's a concept of a real thing.
Okay, actually the question I'd had was, because I recall one example that was given on the understanding the real by way of the unreal is an arahat with the abhinyas. The arahat is unreal, but the abhinyas are real somehow. Wasn't that an example that was written in the description of the six types of panyati? So perhaps the very worst concept of all is the concept of nibbana. I am still very curious, just based on logic and just based on my own studies and other factors, it just seems impossible to me that nibbana could possibly be the object of citta.
I think when it comes to nibbana, we're totally floundering in the dark, because talk about other realities, we can have some idea of what they are like. Seeing even bhavanga citta, we can vaguely comprehend what we're talking about. But when it comes to nibbana, we're totally reliant on basically what we read in the Tipitaka. But I know that for some people, the idea that an unconditioned reality could be experienced by a conditioned reality, namely citta, is a stumbling block. But for me, it's not a particular stumbling block, because it's all, as it were, beyond comprehension anyway. So I just accept on face value that it can be experienced by citta. But I certainly know that it is said in the teachings that I've read that nibbana does have a characteristic that can be experienced by citta. It has a sabhava like any conditioned reality.
And these are the things that I'm very curious to hear, what the definitions of the sabhava of nibbana are, apart from anatta.
When it's chetasika, it arises with certain citta. it cannot arise with kusala at all. And my question is there Nibbana or is there no Nibbana?
Well, Nibbana is merely a label.
Is there Nibbana or is there no Nibbana? If there's no Nibbana, why we are talking about Nibbana?
Well, we can say, we can...
So, is Nibbana a reality? Is there Nibbana? Is there Nibbana?
Conventionally, we can say that there is Nibbana. Conventionally, we can speak about Nibbana.
We are talking about the absolute realities.
But if we talk about absolute realities, then we're falling into the view of externalism, or eternalism.
How many absolute realities are there?
Pardon?
How many absolute realities are there?
According to the Abhidhamma, there are four.
Four?
Okay, rupa, citta, chetasika, nibbana.
So nibbana is a reality?
In terms of a definition.
As citta is real, chetasika is real, rupa is real. Is nibbana real?
What would happen if you really believe
now
that nibbana is a thing, like a real
thing?
Now
we are talking about real thing, or we are talking about just concept?
I mean, nibbana is a concept.
Yeah, if it's concept, we don't have to talk about nibbana at all, because nibbana is only concept. But when it's real, we should know more about nibbana. If it's concept, no use to talk about it.
Well, we have to use concept to talk about nibbana.
Yes, for a reality. For example, we use the term citta, which represents a reality which can experience or cognize an object. And we talk about cetasika. Each one has its own function and characteristic. And we talk about rupa, which is real, and we talk about nibbana, which is real. If nibbana is not real, we don't have to talk about nibbana at all.
The way I would say it is this, is that rupa, citta, cetasika, they're conventionally real, but ultimately they're not real. There are no Buddhas, there are no sentient
ultimate
reality.
What do you mean by conventional?
Is Nagarjuna real or unreal?
Not ultimately.
Right. What you're thinking is real or unreal?
Not ultimately.
So, nothing is real?
Not ultimately.
And what is ultimately?
That's an open question.
The absolute sense of study is to develop understanding, and there must be reality which appears so that we can understand it, not just thinking or have some idea about it, a theory about it.
Of course.
So now that seeing, can we know more about seeing as not self? Hearing, smelling, tasting, thinking.
What about what the Visuddhimagga says in terms of cultivating right view and, say, comprehension by groups, for example? Which is basically what I was talking about, the glass and other things.
It's concept
like
again.
But very important nonetheless to understand.
Yeah, but if we do not understand citta as citta right now, the function of citta, which sees, and the function of cetasikas, which remember, or feeling cetasika, which feels, how can we know how come all these realities? It's only thinking about.
Do you believe it's possible to have super mundane wisdom without knowing about cetasikas, cittas, and all this
other
kind of
stuff? We don't have to call it cetasika, but it's there to be known. So it doesn't mean that there is no cetasikas to be known. There are many cetasikas that Panya can penetrate and see that they are not self.
Do you believe that there are other ways that Panya can penetrate and also come to see that there is not?
What do you mean by other way?
Well, the triple gateway of anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Yes, but
right?
That is the characteristic of all conditioned realities.
Right.
So now the seeing arising and falling away, hearing arising and falling away, every moment. So if there is the moment of understanding reality as it is, then there can be the developed panya, which can penetrate the arising and falling away of citta or cetasika or rupa.
I agree with that completely, yeah. And I just have one more question, though. What about if someone were to, say, study anatta very, very deeply?
But
do you think it possible for the study of anatta to come to the very same understanding?
Yeah, but not just the word anatta. Not just the word anatta. What are anatta?
Of course. I mean,
so
not,
we have
not
to know what are anatta. Seeing is anatta or not? Hearing. There must be something which shows that...
You can't study anatta as anatta.
Right.
You have to study anatta in relationship
now.
To...
Right, to the eye, to the self, to what we perceive as self. Like, for example, in terms of watching the rise and fall. To watch the rise and fall is one way of...
Watching a rising and fall of what? What now?
I'm just quoting out of the Visuddhimagga here.
It's only thinking about Visuddhimagga.
Of course.
And Visuddhimagga helps us to understand this moment.
Yes.
So that all the teachings of Buddha help us to understand reality at this moment.
See, I'm going to back
because
off
because some
the,
people
sorry.
Think that when one studies the teaching, one have to go or think a lot about other things, but not understanding reality, which already arisen and fallen away in split seconds. For example, there is no understanding of seeing, hearing, smelling as different realities. So there is the idea of I who tries the other way. The other way. Not to understand reality here and now.
Right.
When Buddha taught us about absolute realities, what are they? Citta here, cetasikas here, rupa here. And when he talks about lopa mula citta, it's not that we have to look around and find out where is the lopa mula citta. But whenever there is attachment, it's there that Buddha said that it's lopa mula citta.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go away or
right.
look for it.
Right.
Or
right.
when
right.
dosa arises, it's there.
Right.
So Buddha taught us about the development of satipatthana.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be the difference between sati and samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no precise understanding of sati and samadhi, one might mistake that one is developing satipatthana.
Correct. Correct.
So
correct.
What is the difference between sati and samadhi?
Samadhi is one-pointed concentration.
Where
right?
is the samadhi?
Well, the way that I've had it defined to me is that samadhi is the fifth rupa jhana.
What cetasika is it? Is it cetasika?
I'm not talking in terms of cetasika right
it
now.
It is. When it's not you, samadhi is real. It has to be citta or cetasika, the reality which can experience an object. And each has its own characteristic. So samadhi is not sati, it's not pasa, it's not cetana.
Right, right,
so
right. Sati is knowing the characteristics of an object directly.
Sati?
Mindfulness, mindfulness, being aware of realities.
Right now.
Right
what
now.
Reality that sati is
like,
so
for example, anapanasati meditation, for example, watching the in-breath and the out-breath.
I mean right now. In Tipitaka, it says that it is only satipatthana, not cetanapatthana, not parsapatthana, not sanyapatthana.
Right.
It has to be satipatthana. So if there is no clear understanding of the characteristic of sati, some might mistake samadhi for sati.
Right. I mean, other than learning what the basic definition of sati is, that's never even really been emphasized
in my
teachings. In terms of right view, the emphasis has always been on comprehending right view from the perspective of negating what is not truly existent.
If there is no understanding of sati, can there be the development of sati?
No, of course not.
So first of all, there must be the understanding of the characteristic of sati,
right.
which is
right.
different from samadhi.
Right. And that's why, for example, we're trained in what anapanasati meditation, for example, and watching the in-breath and the out-breath. Or
so
like
it's
that,
helpful
right?
always to come back when we're talking about whatever to what is the actual reality that is being referred to.
Okay. Actually, what you've just said is very, very helpful. So this is basically telling me that I need to really be thinking, as I'm conversing here, more at the level of cetasika rather than in the more general terms and stuff
yes,
like that.
Reality.
Okay, okay,
right.
okay. The word reality is a very difficult and open term that is open to so many interpretations. And what is reality?
We understand we're talking about Paramattadhamma. And the important thing, I think, in this context, in terms of Paramattadhamma, is there a distinction between the Paramattadhamma that is Jitta, Cetasika, and Rupa, and the Paramattadhamma that is Nibbana. And to get back to something earlier, as I understand it, what makes a Paramattadhamma is that it has a sabhava, which is...
A unique characteristic,
A unique characteristic.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's agreement among various other teachers of the Buddhist Dharma with me on that particular point too, who say that the experience of Nibbana can't actually happen because there is not an experience per se, but it is merely a memory of absence of these factors.
Excuse me, no matter citta is absence of the rupa dosa, it is citta. It cannot be changed to Nibbana. Citta must be citta. Whenever it arises, when citta arises, citta cannot be Nibbana. Citta cannot be cetasika. Citta cannot be rupa. Citta has to be citta.
I just have a question then. What happens in Nirodha Samapatti?
No cetasika arising for a certain time.
So there is a possibility that there are no citta arising.
Right,
yeah?
Of course.
Right.
So then...
By what? There must be conditions for Nirodha Samapatti.
Mm-hmm,
it doesn't mean that citta cannot arise at will, but by condition.
Sure, sure. Right. Anagami being the basis.
But whenever citta arises, yeah. It is citta. You cannot say that it's nibbana.
No, it's not. No, I'm not saying it's nibbana, but I'm just
so
saying...
So citta is not nibbana, no matter it lacks the...
Right.
Defilements. But citta must be citta.
But there is still possibility in the continuum of a human organism or human body during Nirodha Samapatti when there is no citta arising. Is that correct or not?
Yes, that rupa deprived from kamma can still arise.
Also in the Brahma world where there's only the rupa Brahma, there's no citta either.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that's like rocks.
Well, depending,
the comparison is like rocks, no consciousness.
So it's not only on
Nirodha. But the rupa is different, because the rupa is conditioned by karma, not by utu.
Only by karma, not utu.
Mm. Yes, but it's also the utu, the karma, but not citta, ahara.
I forgot who it was yesterday that brought up that nice little sutta from the Buddha talking about right practice and how if you do right practice, whether you want to attain something or whether you don't want to attain something, you're still going to get that same result.
Right, so it was Mike who brought it up, and the point of bringing it up was to show that it's not the intention to have right understanding or the intention to have no lobha that's important, but the understanding. So regardless of what conventionally we might like or not, it's the understanding that is the key.
Can I beg off for a moment? I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed and I have an enormous amount to process from everything that's happened right now. And
later I would like to hear about the wrong view or the wrong practice too.
Yeah.
I just want to know more about wrong practice because...
No, I want to know more about wrong practice. I came here to ask you.
Because you see that there are two kinds of practices. One is right and the other is wrong. And I would like to know about the wrong practice.
Would wrong practice be practice with self-view? With dhiti?
What dhiti?
Dhiti's view that there is a self that can control the arising of realities.
For example?
Thinking that I can go right now to the garden and sit. I can, now I will go and achieve jhana.
Such idea is wrong practice, right?
That's wrong practice.
And what else?
Thinking that nothing exists. And thinking that something exists. Thinking that things exist intrinsically. No, that's view. It all starts with view, doesn't it? It all starts with view.
Ditti's view.
I think this is a very interesting subject because we all think of having more kusala and developing this and understanding that and so forth. But the big obstacle is wrong view. And I think that if we can identify wrong view as and when it arises in our daily life, that's a great start. So I think examples of wrong view would be like, I shouldn't be doing this, I should be doing that.
No,
if only
I was smoking.
All right.
Or reality slowed down.
And if only I could be more focused, if only I didn't get so angry, if only I had less attachment, or
I didn't have to work.
Let me reorganize things so that it's easier to have more awareness. I must read this book because that's going to help open all sorts of doors for me. All these kind of thoughts, I think, are prompted by wrong view.
And what's about the wrong practice?
Wrong practice.
This is wrong view.
Okay, wrong practice is following the wrong view.
Isn't wrong view thinking there's someone who does something?
Any kind of wrong understanding is wrong view.
Is it wrong practice to
do anything at all?
The right practice goes along with detachment, but the wrong one goes along with attachment.
Attachment to views?
Attachment to the result, too.
Attachment to the result, so future hoping.
Wanting.
Wanting and regretting or the past.
I have a question. Is the development of Panya always accompanied by Shanta and no lobha?
No lobha.
No, never any lobha, just Shanta.
Shanta
Why?
Can arise with kusala or akusala, but lobha can arise with akusala, citta only.
Shanta can arise with kusala or akusala. Can you give me an example of one or the other? Shanta arising with akusala.
Shanta arising with kusala,
akusala.
And with lobha as well.
And with lobha as well. Yeah, can you give me an example?